Great, thank you, Angela. Being 5:07, I'm calling the meeting of the Equal Opportunities Commission to order for March 13, 2025. Angela, I see you have a script up. Do you want to do your thing?
Yes. Welcome to our virtual meeting. We're going to cover a few basic items before beginning. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. To members and city staff, members, if you are able, please activate your video for purposes of quorum and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Staff, if you are able, please activate your video when you are speaking. The chair and committee staff are responsible for muting and unmuting committee members. Members can rename themselves if they wish to add pronouns after your name. Use the raise hand feature when you would like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. During any roll call, all participants will be unmuted briefly. Staff, click raise hand when you are asked a question. The chair will do their best to call on committee members in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hand would take you out of the queue. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain unmuted until called upon. Staff would tell you when your time is up. After speaking, a member of the body may ask you a question. If you need to share documentation with the board, please send it to the email listed on today's agenda. Please do not use your video. If you turn on your video, it will be shut off. Chair, the floor is yours.
There we go. Thank you so much, Angela. Can you assist me with roll call, please?
Yes. Ben Ford.
Present.
Ramey.
Melanie.
Present, I'm sorry.
Right. Thank you.
Kleba.
Present.
Esparza. Wright.
Present.
Ketchum. Okay. Tan.
Present.
Wallace. Wahili. Martinez Rutherford. Rainey Moore.
Present.
Bangalore. Madden.
Present.
A quorum has been met, Chair.
Thank you, Angela. And thank you all for joining on this beautiful day. I know it's hard to be in front of a screen when we all want to be outside. So in a virtual meeting like this, it's particularly important that we carefully follow Robert Rules of Order. Therefore, please do not speak until you have raised your hand and been recognized by the chair. The chair will ask for a motion and a second for each agenda item, unless it is noticed for discussion only. Any member wishing to join, where are we? You jumped on me here. Okay, here we go. Any member wishing to join the debate or move an amendment will also have to raise their hand and be recognized by the chair. Similarly, if you have some other matter to bring to the attention of the chair, such as point of order or request for information, please use the raise hand function. So as you noted before, I don't believe we have public comment. So next up would be approval of the minutes. I'd like to entertain a motion. I see, before we do that, I see Byron, you had your hand up.
Looks like you're done talking.
Yes,
So
Chair, there's a person in the waiting room and I'm trying to decide if
no
we're
problem.
letting this individual in. I'm not sure if this was the person we were referring to that might have registered for public speaking. So I was looking for some clarification on that. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Once again, they can join, but if they didn't register to speak, they will not be permitted to speak during public comment.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was just for watch list.
All right. Wonderful. So do I have a motion to approve minutes? I saw Melanie's hand. Is that
so moved?
Thank you. That's a motion by Melanie. Bob, is that a second?
Looks like.
Second.
Great. So that motion is moved by Melanie, seconded by Bob. Unless anyone has any objections, I'd like to record that as unanimous. I'm looking, I'm not seeing any objections. That passes. That moves us next to disclosures and recusals. Does any members of this body have any disclosures or recusals on any agenda items? I'm scrolling, I'm looking, I'm seeing none. That brings us to our agenda. If you don't mind, can you pull up our agenda, please? Wonderful, thank you so much. So that brings us to new business, item two. I see we have City Attorney Haas with us to discuss housing property tax equity, public area accessibility, and the EOC's jurisdiction over all of that. Attorney Haas?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Good evening, members. The chair and I spoke briefly about this topic. I guess I have to confess I'm not exactly sure what questions the commission has. The agenda topic is a little broad. Asked me to discuss several topics, and I'm not sure if you just want me to ramble about those. So I thought maybe it would help if the commission wanted to throw out a couple of questions to see if I could answer them about what you would like me to address.
Wonderful. I see Melanie's hand and then I saw Bob. Melanie, would you like to start?
Yes. Mike, this is the issue. There are at least three communities in Madison, large communities that are where the people who live there are very wealthy people, and those properties are off of the tax rolls.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is why? Given the fact that the city has, we had to have a referendum so the city could keep going, why are those properties off the tax rolls? The second issue involved is, of course, that a lot of the people, or some of the people, I would know the number, I could figure it out, have never even lived in Madison before they retired and came here to, and they've never paid a dime of taxes here. And so it seems inequitable in terms of all the other properties that are being built, where it are put on the tax rolls. And certainly we can't even get enough housing for people with lower incomes. So my question is, I know when it happened, but my question is why can't these properties be put on the tax rolls like the rest of our properties are?
Okay. Thank you.
Attorney Haas, do you want the commissioners to stay in a queue and ask questions and you want to answer them one at a time?
I think it would help to just get the total list, at least what people are thinking right now.
And thank then we you. Can,
yeah.
Bob, please go. You're muted, Bob.
Thank
there you. Go.
Thank you, Chair. Attorney Haas, I think it'd be helpful to know that the three properties that we're talking about are Capitol Lakes,
mm-hmm.
Oakwood Village,
Attic Angels.
and Attic Angels, and there
Right.
are other properties too. One where my mom is a resident, for example, and that would be All Saints. But they were not involved in the initial lobbying of the state, I believe, for 501c3 tax exemption. So, yeah, thank you.
Well, I think there's one thing, for example, like Porch Light and the YWCA, those are 501c3s that are also not on the tax rolls, but the people living in those properties are very low income people. And that's why they live in those particular properties because of their income. I don't know about the one you referenced, Bob, who lives there, as a matter of fact. But I do know for these three that we articulated that, for example, even to get in the place, you have to have a $1 million portfolio. So, I mean, that's a clue.
Okay. Okay, I think I can certainly provide some information about that. Were there any other topics the commission was interested in covering?
Yeah, I'm the one creating a problem here, apparently. My question had to do with this area, this park area that's owned by the Catholic Diocese on Main Street.
Okay.
And it used to be where the cathedral was
Right.
before it burned down. Well, the property, the way they have it done, is really not accessible for people using assistive devices. You have to go all the way around it to find a place where you might could get in. And I think that, for example, since that is also off the tax rolls, that it certainly should be so that people can access it and actually use it to sit there and so forth. Although I might mention they only have one bench, but and that's easily remedied. But the whole thing of this being in the public park kind of thing, and really being difficult for people to use with assistive devices, I raise the question of why is that tolerated?
Okay.
And that's all the complaints I have today.
Okay. Thanks. Well, I can provide some information, and this might require some follow-up, which we can get into. But as far as the property tax issue, I mean, as you probably know, because there's been some reference to it. The assessor has to follow state statutes as far as property tax assessment. And I'm going to say, I guess, at the outset that maybe if you want more specific information about those specific properties, it might be best to either invite the city assessor or ask her to respond. Because the assessor is required to follow the exemptions that are provided for in the statutes. And I will say that the assessor would probably tell you that personally, she does not agree with some of those exceptions, but we're bound by the statutes. And in fact, the city has been sued by the Freedom From Religion Foundation regarding some tax-exempt properties that have student housing, and the claim being that the city should be assessing those properties, which is, in my view, sort of a way to try to get around actually suing the state because it's a state statute. They're actually just objecting to the state statute. And our response has been, we don't have a choice. And now, maybe that lawsuit will be successful regarding those particular properties, and we would have to then look at whether there are other properties that that decision would apply to, like the ones you've mentioned. But I talked to Michelle Dre, the city assessor, when that lawsuit was filed, and she said, she's bound by what she can't obviously use her personal opinion about what properties the city assesses. I'm sure the city would just as soon assess as much property as we can. But she thought she was prohibited by the statutes from assessing those properties. I will say, you know, as far as the comments about equity and who lives there, of course, you know, we have a state constitution that has this uniformity clause that says all property in the same class has to be assessed the same way. And, you know, there's been attempts over the years to try to provide targeted tax relief, whether it's to seniors or different categories of people. And those have always had a hard time either being passed or being upheld by the courts, because under that uniformity clause, it doesn't matter who lives there and what their means are. It's the property and the classification of the property. We don't, you know, income taxes are assessed based on income. Property taxes are assessed based on the type of property, not who lives there and, you know, whether or not they have any wealth. So let me, I guess, stop there as far as the property tax issue and see if there's anything I left out. I haven't looked into three or four specific properties, but my guess is that would be the response of the assessor, is that the statute does not permit us to assess the properties.
Well, I guess from what you're saying, because these are properties for senior citizens, that may be the catch-all where they put them. And, you know, so if it's for senior citizens, then, you know, they can be a 501c3, I suppose. It occurs to me is what you're saying. It's still inequitable, and that's a stupid way to do it. And I'm going to take it up with some people in the legislature myself, because I just really think this does not make sense.
Right. I suspect it's because they have some type of nonprofit status. I'm not sure if there's a difference between nonprofit status because of, you know, seniors living there, or nonprofit status because it's anybody who obtains that status from the federal government. I'm not sure. That's where we can maybe get more information from the assessor. But you are correct that, you know, in order for that to be changed, the legislature would need to be the ones to do it.
Yeah. Well, I think we need as much information as we can get, and then decide, you know, as a commission or me personally, where we want to take up the cudgels, because I just find it absolutely bizarre, frankly.
I'm sorry, I was muted. I see Bob's hand is up, and we can come back, Melanie, if you had another question or anyone else. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Commissioner Ramey and Attorney Haas, I'd like to remind you and the rest of the commission that hospitals are also treated as 501c3 organizations. Clinics are not. The clinics pay property tax, hospitals do not. Mm-hmm. And in spite of this status, hospital executives typically earn on the order of $500,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So we can be excited or complacent about these things as, you know, as we wish, but this is what we're faced with.
Well,
thank you.
I, Bob, that's true. This is the Equal Opportunities Commission. And so we should be a little more interested in equality than we are with these sorts of things. I understand that. And I think, of course, the IRS grants the tax status of whatever you are. And so I still think I want to find out as much as we can about these properties. And then if we could take up the cudgels we can, but the state's in the same position, or I mean, like the cities, they're always wanting more money, needing more money, so forth. And having some of these very, very choice properties off the tax roll is unreasonable.
Oh, go ahead, Attorney
Well,
Haas.
I was just going to say, if you wanted more information about those specific properties, then I will say that I may have had more time to look into those specific properties if I hadn't been given a new assignment this week by the mayor. But the commission or maybe DCR staff could certainly send an email to the assessor and ask for some more details about those properties, both, exactly why they're exempt, and if the assessor has any thoughts about, whether that exemption is proper. As I said, we do have this pending lawsuit. To be honest, I think the city's position is that we should not even be a party that sued because we can't do anything about it. But that's in its very very early stages. I don't even know if we have filed a response to the initial complaint, which was only filed a couple weeks ago.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Attorney Haas. I'm looking and I don't see other hands. If there's no objections, as a chair, I'd love to ask a question to piggyback on Melanie and Bob. And the last part of agenda item two was the EOC's jurisdiction. I'm hearing the concerns. I understand it's coming from a place of equity, and I would love a little clarity in what actually we can do. We can, certainly ask questions of the assessor, but Attorney Haas, do you have any guidance? Are we out of our lane, is what I'm trying to say.
It's a good question. I hate to not give you a definite answer, but I looked at the policy language in the Equal Opportunities Ordinance that talks about denial of equal opportunity in housing, and I think you'd have to make a connection between those tax exemptions and how that eventually, affects equal opportunity in housing, it seems to me. And I'm sure if you follow the trail long enough, you can make an argument about properties not being assessed and not, eventually that impacting equal opportunity in housing. I was also looking at, the powers and duties of the commission. The first one's pretty general. It just talks about studying the existence, the character, causes, and extent of the denial of equal opportunity because of biases, institutional, passive, and active forms of discrimination or harassment. I don't know. I mean, is a lawfully passed law that we have to, that we're compelled to follow, is that, can that be considered any one of those, a denial of equal opportunity because of biases, prejudices, passive or active forms of discrimination or harassment? That's one of the powers. That I think just has a broad language. Another one talks about recommending solutions to individual problems, which involve the denial of equal opportunities because of class or protected class or other class membership. Is this an individual problem involving the denial of equal opportunity because of a protected class? I mean, I think the legislature would say, no, it doesn't matter, who's living there. But and then the third one, that the third kind of duty of the commission that I looked at, talked about disseminating information to educate the people of Madison and to aid private and public agencies to use their resources to promote equal opportunities for all persons. And the rest, I think really have to do with complaints and investigations, making recommendations to the mayor and the council. I would not sit here tonight and say the commission cannot look into that issue, because if you want to study it and try to decide how close of a tie you can make to equal opportunities, I don't think it's our position to say you cannot do that. But I think that's what you have to take a close look at, is if you talk about, the commission staying in its lane, is what exactly are you, using the commission powers to do, and what's the ultimate objective? Obviously, this, the city has the city officials themselves and the city's lobbying firm are communicating with legislators. And, if the commission feels like it wants to contribute to the city's legislative agenda in this way, that might be an avenue. But I guess my point is, what is the ultimate objective of the commission in further discussing or studying that problem or that issue? So, Chair, I'm sorry I can't be more definitive, but that's sort of my thoughts off the top of my head.
No, I appreciate that, Attorney Haas.
I think I will say, just based on my experience with other committees, sometimes there's, and I'm certainly not saying this is the case here, but I have seen instances where individual members of a committee or city body are trying to use the body to promote some or get at some personal interests or agenda that does not relate to the body. These topics, I think, relate to the EOC, but that's just my caution, is to be able to, because you are members of a city body, you have some authority and you have some power, and you just want to make sure that you're tying it to something in the ordinance, which the council gave you the authority to do.
Thanks again, Attorney Haas. So, from what I understand, hearing Attorney Haas and hearing, and I do appreciate this coming up, we can certainly send it back to executive committee and next time talk with the assessor. It's up to you all. We can keep looking at this, and it's really up to you. But I would entertain a motion if we were going to do that.
Well, I would move that we at least speak with the city assessor and see, what her opinion is. And I don't know, since, the law was established that set the classes, whatever they are, the world's changes. And any event, I would like for us to speak with this assessor, or have her speak with us, and sort of find out as much as we can about the situation. And, then we can decide if we want to proceed or, based on Mike's opinion and her opinion, if it would be worth the effort or what.
Thank you. And Melanie, I think I heard you make a motion that we would invite the assessor to our next meeting to continue exploration on this issue. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Bob, I see your hand. Is that a second?
It is a second. Thank you.
Thank you. It's moved by, and I'll repeat the motion. It's moved by Melanie that we invite the city assessor to come, and where we can ask questions around housing property tax equity issues and continue to explore it. I see Kat, your hand is up. Go ahead, Kat, you're muted. Kat, you're still muted. Chad, I'm having difficulties hearing you. You want to try again? It shows that you're muted on my screen.
Catriel can left parent she slash her slash hers right parent has
Well,
left
it looks like Cat got bounced off. Maybe I'll just wait a second to see if she reconnects quickly. If not, we can follow through on this vote. And I want to also check with Kat being gone to make sure we still have quorum. Let's see, there's one, two, three, four, five, six. Actually,
Yeah,
we're
we
gonna
need her.
we need Kat back soon for quorum. So I think we're gonna pause here to see if Kat joins us. If she
She's
doesn't,
coming back.
Oh, wonderful.
She is back.
Great. Kat, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, perfect. Thank you.
Okay,
Thank you
great.
For coming back. Go ahead.
I apologize for the technical difficulties. I only wanted to share that, and I don't know if this requires a specific, motion, but I wanted to encourage everybody to consider raise regarding just kind of maybe the finer details of what parts of our mandate are because it's not but if there
I don't know if anybody else can, but I couldn't hear half of what was said.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't either. Kat,
I apologize.
I think I heard you say that. Go ahead. You're coming in clearer now. Try again, please.
Yeah, just that I wanted to encourage everyone to consider the really good points that Attorney Haas raised, and so that we can at least have some thought related to kind of this whole project and where we're coming at with it. Ahead of speaking with the assessor, I think that we can kind of have a more targeted conversation if we're able to consider some of the questions that were raised.
Thank you. Kat, I heard the last bit of it. We do have a motion on the table, and I want to dispense of that. And then it sounds like there will be ample opportunity to talk about what you suggested, Kat. So it was moved by Melanie. I don't know if anyone needs me to repeat the motion, but essentially to continue to explore what this body can do collectively. And I heard you clear, Melanie, you're going to the legislature no matter what. So thank you. So if there's no objections, I'm looking, I'm not seeing anyone. We can record that as unanimous. Seeing none, it looks like we have direction with that. Thanks again, Attorney Haas. Appreciate it.
Sure. We can certainly talk about the second question. I wasn't sure if there was any you need. We're going to do any follow-up with Kat's point, or are you ready to move on to the second part, second question?
Well, let me ask you, Kat, you had mentioned that it might require a motion. Does that sound, I think I heard you, and correct me if I'm wrong, that perhaps we want a little bit more clarity on the questions that we would ask the assessor. Am I in the right ballpark?
Yeah. Some of what I thought were very good points that Attorney Haas had raised regarding you know, the scope of the question and what we're hoping to accomplish, simply so that we can have a productive and efficient conversation when, if and when we do get the assessor sort of in the room, so to speak.
Great. And once again, recognizing that this will come to the executive committee, and perhaps at that time we can flush out those questions. Does that sound about right, Kat?
Thank you.
I didn't hear what you said. I'm envious. It looks like you're jogging around the track.
Yes.
Okay.
No, I'm by the Capitol. It's loud.
Okay, wonderful. All right, thank you. So it looks like we can move on. So that brings us to agenda item number 3, directing city staff to explore the study, the possibility of providing early mediation between businesses. Oh. And I see where Alder Rummo and Alder Wahilie had brought this in front of us, but it never came to executive committee. So I don't know if this is a time-sensitive issue. Attorney Haas, go ahead, please.
Did you want me to discuss the second question about the vacant, the lot, the former church lot?
Oh, I got ahead of myself. Yes, please.
Okay, thanks. I think this is a question about public accommodations. Obviously, my understanding, at least, it's still owned by the church. It's a private lot, but certainly people use it and seems to be held out for the public. The question seemed to be about whether or not it was accessible. And, I hate to, I guess, keep directing the commission to other agencies. But I mean, it occurred to me that if there's any sort of issue about ADA compliance, or anything regarding like our building code, that might be an issue for the building inspector. But I'm not sure what their jurisdiction is, both on that type of property and also, what the requirements are. If there's only one point of entry that's accessible, does that satisfy the law or not? I don't know that. And again, this was actually one thing I had on my list to try to contact the building inspector this week to ask him, but I just did not have the time to do that. Certainly there's obviously the policies and the authority of the commission to look into public accommodation issues. The question is who enforces that? Well, the questions are, what is their standards under the law? Are they being violated? And then who enforces those? And I assume at this point, the commission has not received a complaint to like proceed under that avenue.
Not that I'm aware of, Attorney Haas, but that I think in our conversations, we could reach out to Matt Tucker, right, to get clarity around that.
Right. And if it's not, I mean, I think he would certainly be able to tell you if it's not his agency or if there's nothing, if it is and that they've already looked at it and it complies with the law, to see what type of, change the city could impact.
Well, it could be a really nice asset in this, the heart of the city. And, it's basically used as a dog park. And I'm mm-hmm. sure all the dogs are not Catholic. And so this is even another matter, of course. It seems to me wasted space. And it's right near where I live. So I see it all the time. I go by it all the time. And I just think this is really too bad that, we can't, people can't use this and enjoy it, because there's certainly not that much empty space now in downtown, that's for sure. So
yeah, and I mean, I've certainly walked through there. I guess I and not recently, and I meant to, but I'm not exactly sure which point of entry you're talking about and what the conditions are that, you know, create obstacles with the other spots.
Thank you. So, Melanie, does that sound like a good course of action? We could reach out to Matt Tucker.
Sure. You know, okay. I mean, we need information on things so we're not just ignorant about it. And, you know, clearly some of these issues people haven't asked a lot about, or don't have access to the answers. So I think so. Why not find out about it? Maybe we can get a change.
Yes, in full disclosure, I've written the bishop to ask why isn't there 100 housing units for poor people there, but that's neither here or there right now. So thank you. We can pursue that. Is there any other questions around that for City Attorney Haas? I know he's got an overseeing election coming up in addition to everything else he's doing here.
And if in your communications both with the assessor and the building inspector, you know, you can certainly let them know if it helps to talk to me. I'd be happy to talk to them about our conversation. And if you're done with me, I will go back to my second job this evening.
Well, I don't mean to laugh, but yes, I think we're done. Thank you, Attorney Haas.
Okay, thank you. Have a good night.
You too. Take care. So that brings us to agenda item number 3, directing city staff to explore and study the possibility of providing early mediation between businesses. And once again, I still don't see the alders. That didn't come to us at the executive committee. I don't know if it's a timing issue. So I'll leave it up to the body what they want to do with this. When I read Legistar, when I read the text, it was a little bewildering to me. I don't know if Byron has any thoughts about this.
I think there should, my first thought is one, some folks should come in and talk to you and let you know what they were thinking and why they feel this was necessary. I'd like to get some background as to what has occurred or are they trying to prevent from occurring to do this. But I will say that last year there were a few occasions where we were asked to do a mediation for folks who are have contracts with the city, and some of the contractors were not either getting along with each other and needed some support and guidance to continue to work with the city. In one situation, the contract could have been in jeopardy if we couldn't come to some kind of new understanding. So there has been situations where we have helped. However, it is outside our scope and it is outside probably our pay levels because it is higher level, even though we have done this. So if the city wants to move forward with something like this, I would ask that they also consider one, making sure it's appropriately scoped for a pay scale that allows this kind of higher level responsibility and work, and then have, you know, some discussion as to how this would get fleshed out as to who would be responsible for this and where. I'm guessing that, and it's an assumption on my part, that it might be something that would be in DCR and under our area since we've done this before and we do mediations and conciliations regularly. But as you know, we are also trying to develop and build an internal mediation program for the city, which I'm envisioning that is going to probably start this year. And so have a lot of questions, but I just don't know what I don't know at the moment. So that's just my initial thoughts.
Thank you, Byron. Bob?
I would like to make a motion.
Please do.
Chair, I'd like to ask your assistance in the exact language, but I'm going to start with I'd like to make a motion to refer this with prejudice. And if I get a second, I can elaborate.
Second.
Second by Melanie. Go ahead,
Yeah.
Bob.
Well, first of all, before Byron mentioned that it's above his pay grade to deal with this sort of thing, I'm thinking about all the issues that the Department of Civil Rights and deal with on a daily basis with the limited staff that we have. And here we are with a resolution requesting more work out of already limited resources. And furthermore, if Alders Rummel and Wahilier were here, we could get some sort of a commitment for additional funding, but I doubt that that's there. So without additional funding, I think this is dead on arrival.
Thank you. So the motion is to refer with prejudice for the reasons that Bob stated, and second by Melanie. Is there any other discussion around this? I'm scrolling. I'm not seeing any hands. Oh, yes, I do. Go ahead, Kat.
Thank you. I was just wondering if I could get some clarification on specifically what it means for us to refer with prejudice.
Sure. So the reasons that Bob stated, first of all, this wasn't presented to the executive committee. This was just launched on us tonight. There's just so many questions. We're concerned about the overall budget of the Equal Opportunities Division, the fight. And I'm kind of going a little bit further than what Bob said. We had to fight for investigators and money short. Why is this in front of us now? So what that means is we refer it with prejudice. We're skeptical about it. That gives the Alders time to bring it back. I suspect that this might be something that's there's a timeline involved, and that's why I'm a little dismayed why they're not here. Whether they were hoping that we would take a look at it and agree, yes or no, and then they were going to go back to council with it relatively soon. We don't know. So basically, it just means that do it right. We're going to refer it until they can do it right. Does that answer your question?
It does very adequately. I appreciate that. And I for the good clarification from Bob.
Thank you. Thank you. So if there's so that was motion by Bob, second by Melanie. If there's no one opposed to that, I would like to record that as unanimous. Seeing no opposition, that is referred with prejudice. That brings us to agenda item number four, the non-discrimination clause. And that's you, Bob.
Angela Banks,
I
DCSP,
I will admit that this is a bit personal because I have a contract with the city for a property, namely a lease for a ground lease for where we live in the leasehold improvement. It's a bit complicated, and there are only five of these properties in the city, and I just coincidentally live in one of them. Anyway, this past summer and finally this winter. Well, this past summer we renegotiated, and this winter we submitted to Common Council the lease for final approval. And in the final negotiations, I noticed that the lease that we have, which is essentially a contract, has a list of the classes, the protected classes of people whom we, whom our contractors, whom the city contractors and the city lessees cannot discriminate against. And I noticed that it is not a complete list of our, forgive me, 30 or 31 protected classes. And I raised the issue with the city staff who were working on this at the time, and the response from the city attorney's office was that Madison General Ordinance has a list, a more limited list of protected classes for the that are required in contracts and leases. And I did raise the issue and got a response from oh geez, I'm sorry, I'm not prepared. Let me look here. So Norm Davis. There we are. So the in 2023, Department of Civil Rights did not want two different parts of the Madison General Ordinances to mirror each other. And when it was discussed to add recently added protected classes, they didn't want to add those to one part, and they didn't want to catch all in the other part. So what was decided is to retain a core of protected classes so as not to make things more onerous for contractors and something more difficult to enforce. And that was a response from the city attorney's office, Adriana Piguero, whom we've met with in the past. And Norm Davis responded, basically that's what we discussed. But my issue is that here we are in the Equal Opportunities Commission, and we promote and we push forward additional protected classes as we see fit. And we did that, and they were not included in the Madison General Ordinance.
Audio.
So,
Desktop gold.
it are our
Hand now
efforts
raised.
at promoting
COL
equal
desktop gold.
opportunities
COL desktop
for
gold.
all people with
Middle
all protected classes being thwarted
Looks like you're
by
disconnected.
other parts of the city? I guess that's my question. And Melanie, I know you have some history, so I will
Hand now lowered.
stop
No,
talking now.
I was just going to ask, which ones did they leave off? Which ones are they saying are hard
Connect via escape.
to enforce and all? That's what's curious to
Codsite
me.
phone escape.
Well,
Codsite phone.
I did look at it at one point in time. I believe one was gender identity, which is one of the more recent protected classes. And what is the Byron, can you help me out here? The two most recent protected classes.
Building code complainant and the receipt of rental income or receipt of income.
Receipt of income. Okay.
It was under source of income. I can't ever remember the title of that thing.
Oh,
So.
okay. Yep. Okay. So, and we could argue whether those actually pertain to People like me who have a lease with the city, or contractors, more importantly, who employ people who do work for the city. I do believe that the, if we have in the Equal Opportunities Ordinance, all these protected classes, that we should also provide language that reflects that in the lease, in contract.
Thank you, Bob. I see Ford is on this call. Ford, do you have any insights that might help us?
There we go. Wanted to make sure I had the right buttons pushed. This is an interesting argument, or an interesting situation. Norm says that at one point I was consulted about this, but I have no recollection of having been consulted about this. I think the as I Baba has summarized it correctly, that the people who deal with contractors, essentially the affirmative action division folks, want to make it less onerous for people to enter into contracts with the city. And they seem to think, they or at least they argue, that they don't need to include it in the they don't need to include it in the ordinance relating to contracts and the contracts themselves, because they're independently obligated to obey our employment ordinance anyway. I think, from my perspective as an attorney, the problem that might face us is that if someone came to us with a complaint against a city contractor, filed under the Equal Opportunities Ordinance as opposed to the Affirmative Action Ordinance, we might, I'm sure we would face the argument that they are complying with the Affirmative Action Ordinance, and that as a is represents a special case that the city has essentially angle or has removed from consideration of the Equal Opportunities Ordinance. I guess I see this as being, well, really needing much clarification. Either everything that's in the Equal Opportunities Ordinance should be in the contractor or the affirmative action ordinance, or they have to make it much clearer in the affirmative action ordinance that they're in fact limiting those protected classes specifically for city contractors.
Thank you, Ford. Is there a follow-up, Bob, or anyone?
I should say that Norm is out of the office, I think, for another week or so, and at the last meeting that we discussed this, I said that I wanted to talk further with him about it, and once he returns to the office, I will we'll get back talking about my concerns about arguments about preemption created by these differences.
Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, and thank you, Ford. I am very sympathetic to the arguments for preemption. However, why do we bother with these protected classes if they're not respected elsewhere in the MGO and elsewhere in city agencies? And that's my argument. And I think that's it's incumbent on the Equal Opportunities Commission to make sure that these that all protected classes are respected in all of our ordinances and city policies. Thank you.
I guess yeah. I have a question. Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. We get into a jurisdictional issue here. I think this commission can reach out to the Affirmative Action Commission and indicate that you believe that they should recommend a inclusion of all of our protected classes. But I'm not sure that we could go to, say, the Common Council and ask them to amend the ordinance under which the Affirmative Action Division operates.
Yeah, that's that is interesting advice, and advice that I will advice to pursue communication with the Affirmative Action Commission that I will pursue.
Okay. So, Bob, would you like to refer this then? Let's keep this moving and refer it to give us time to do that. Is that what you're thinking?
Yes. Yes, please. Let's. I see that the next Affirmative Action Commission meeting is on the 3rd of April. So I will work with them to get more information.
So in the meanwhile, just to keep things tidy, I would love to welcome a motion to refer this to our next meeting, and that way we can keep it moving. Kat, I see your hand is up.
I'd like to move to refer to next meeting.
Thank you. Kat moves to refer to next meeting. Bob, is that a second?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. I'm looking, unless I see any opposition, I'd like to record that as unanimous. I'm not seeing any. Let me scroll again. So it looks like that passes. We'll refer that to our next meeting. That moves us to discussion items, agenda item number 5. Before we get started with that, I hope folks have had a chance to take a look at that timeline. And at our last executive committee, we agreed to keep that deadline the 31st. So, Angela, do you have any updates or how it's getting out there in the public? I see there's a flyer that we all can send out, or anyone mm-hmm. else, Angela, mm-hmm. or anyone else?
Yes, we have a listserv. We have a list of our community partners, and there's 3 major lists, and I was able to send them out. One of the lists has over 700 contacts on there. Certainly a lot of bounce backs because of changes in jobs and things like that. But we did refer that. We will be updating the information on our website if it has not yet been done. So those notices are out there to that community group. And yes, they are there for you all to share as well. Thank you, Dina, for helping us update the biography We will make sure that that's also updated on the website. So
yeah, I was going to say it's not updated yet.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I will talk to them again tomorrow.
Okay. And could we maybe have the list of the folks who you are sending it to so there won't be, you know, duplicated efforts?
Yeah, I can send that to you. I won't be able to really let you know which ones were bounced back like that, but I can send you, here's the list.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank
Does
you.
Does everyone want that? I mean, just send me a note if you would like to have it.
Great, great.
That way it won't have to be a vote or anything. Okay,
Thank
I will send
you.
The contact list with an S.
Thank you.
I hope it's appropriate for me to say, Dina, as a father, as I read about your father, he's got to be so extremely proud that you're serving on this body. Your dad is awesome. So just...
Yes.
I get goosebumps thinking about that.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's a great honor. So I'm very appreciative to be a part of the EOC. Yeah, it means a lot.
Thank you. It means a lot to us too. So is there any other conversation around that? Once again, I would encourage people to look at the links. You can just click on the links that are on the agenda to kind of give you a sense of the timeline if you haven't already taken a look. And then that nomination flyer, you can start sending that out to your social media or however you do it.
Yeah, we created a more public timeline to be included there because if you remember looking at the timeline, it had a lot of internal things on there. Here's the email. So we condensed it so this could be available for more public and be included with the agenda that's posted. So we are speaking of the deadline and we'll send a reminder email, you know, here are the nomination, how it will be rated, will be added to the, it's really the May Executive Committee, but the date is April 28th because we were trying to get that 10-day difference between the EOC meeting and then how we're going to order the award and how it's going to get on there. So that's that one, but certainly the nomination flyer that you mentioned is out there with a wonderful picture. There's a deadline, how to contact us. And then also we talk about the criteria and there are the nomination forms, both in Word and PDF.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Is there any other discussion around agenda item number 5? I'm scrolling. I'm not seeing any. That brings us to agenda item number 6, the EOC work plan. Who would like to get us started on that? And I know at the executive committee that it felt like with the next agenda item that was kind of linked into our conversation around the work plan, the listening sessions. So we could take 6 and 7 up together.
All right.
So I know Araceli, and sadly, if you haven't heard, her dog was tragically killed by another dog. And so Araceli is grieving right now, and my thoughts go out to her. Does anyone else, and I know Linda and other people, Dina, I think you were involved in that, but I'm making the assumption that you all didn't have a chance to really talk much recently.
No, we have not. We have not since that first meeting.
Yeah, so we can move this down the road if there's no objections. Does anyone have any comments around that? So at the executive committee, just to fill folks in, we talked about locations, the continue the listening sessions, and that was part of our work plan. Ford, please go ahead.
It not to do with that, but I noticed that Melanie has dropped off. You may have lost quorum.
Oh, thank you for catching that. How about if the body doesn't mind, we'll give Melanie a few more minutes. or a minute. And just so folks know, technically we cannot, we have to adjourn fairly quick. Rebecca, your hand is up.
Yes. I don't see Kat either.
Right, you're too short of quorum right now.
Okay.
Right, because Kat is not on here anymore.
Oh, Kat was running around the Capitol and we lost her. So regrettably, folks, I'm going to give it like 30 seconds thinking that it was a technology issue. If they both don't join, we're going to have to adjourn this meeting. Well, with that, regrettably, we're going to have to adjourn, and we don't need a motion for that once we lose quorum. Very sorry.
Have a good night.
Yeah, you too, Zach. Everybody take care.
Thank you.
You too. Care.
Do you have to say the meeting was adjourned at a certain time because of lack of quorum? I guess I can just put that on my notes. Mm-hmm. All right, I'll do it. All right.
Okay, good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night, Ford.